jelly beans. Welcome to another episode of Crit's Corner Podcast. I'm your host, Crit. Thank you for joining me today. As promised from last week's episode, today we'll be talking about BDSM. Now, a lot of people have no bother term, like they just know BDSM is all about kinks and hardcore and chains and whips and dungeons. But there's a lot more to BDSM than just that. So what does BDSM stand for? BD, bondage discipline. DS, domination and submission. SM, sadism and masochism. Now, it's the full one would be BDDSSM, but you know that's just unnecessarily long because the D and the S both have two meanings. Okay, so we're gonna start with it's broken into three groups. So group one is bondage and discipline. Now, in bondage and discipline, of course, we're talking about ropes and chains and floggers and paddles and whips. And of course, you know, the hand for, you know, spanks and slaps and stuff like that. So, before I continue, I have to remind people that all of this is between two or more between consenting adults, okay? And by adult, I mean above 18 or above 21. There's countries that accept 16. It's not allowed in BDSM, just saying. And there are places that have laws against people practicing it, and you could be arrested. Right, so it has to be between consenting adults. Whether it's 2 or 20, if you want the whole orgy thing, that's a whole different case, but it has to be between consenting adults. 2, there has to be an agreed upon safe word. There has to be agreed upon limits and names. You know, the whole BDSM thing is more of like a role play kind of thing. So one will take up the binder, the other one will be taking up the bonded. Okay, so bonder and bonded. So one ties the ropes, the other one has the ropes tied on them. You know, being cuffed, being having your arms tied behind you, to the bed, to the wall, to the door, to keep you in certain positions that either increase the sexual enjoyment or give the top individual, the more dominant one, more pleasure, or the submissive more pleasure. Bondage is, it's mostly, you know, just that. So that being said, there's some who do gags, which is like a little ball-like structure, ball-like toy that has straps on it. So the ball goes in the mouth, like a tennis ball. No, actually, like a tennis ball is quite big, like a golf ball. And it goes into the mouth. It's usually safe. It's more often than not rubber, so you can bite on it. And then it has straps that go around the head. And that works as a gag for people who are into that kind of thing. And unless the individual is gagged, the mouth is usually allowed to be open, you know, for communication, sounds, and all that stuff. And one of the things that I have said, having a safe word is mandatory. It's not an option, it's mandatory. So you remember I had mentioned in last episode that an individual should have a safe word that would be a very odd word to say during coitus, during sexual intercourse. Words like pineapple, foliage, highlighter, you know, things like that. Words that are very unusual during sex. And then there's another way, which is for longer periods of time. You know, something, the safe words are for immediate stop. Like, this is it, we're not going on with that. They want to put your leg over their shoulder and you don't like that, or if you don't feel like you're comfortable with that, or your body can't do that, or you feel sudden pain, you say it, you don't really have to scream it, but make sure it's audible, make sure you can be heard, make sure the word comes out clearly, and you say foliage, foliage, foliage. And the moment the partner hears the word foliage, they have to stop immediately. The other system is a traffic light system, where, say, for example, you know, the longer period, longer lasting scenes where, you know, it gradually increases in intensity, where we move from spankings across the, say, the chest or the bum or the thighs with the hand, and then you move on to a paddle, and then move on to a whip, you know, like that. That's, you know, it gradually increases in intensity. And so the person who is inflicting, say, the pain or doing the whipping, or the one who's, you know, the top rather, ought to keep asking, what color are you at, you know? And the other individual should give either a green, meaning they're still in a safe zone, the person can continue, or increase. Yellow means that they're okay, but they're nearing their limit. Red means they are at the limit. So either you maintain, if they're okay with it, maintaining, or you start going back down a little. So if you'd already got into a whip, you can release the whip and, you know, go back to either paddle or, you know, rub the place where you've been smacking, because of course the skin will get sore and it will be painful. So yeah, remember that there's the traffic light system. Now, once again, consent. And it's not implied consent, okay? It's either yes or no. And if there's hesitance or there's hesitance, that's a no. Just, it has to be a sure yes to be consent, okay? So we have bondage and discipline. Now, most of these things happen between a dominant and a submissive. So where the dominant is the one who's doing the binding and the disciplining, and the submissive is the one who's being bound and the one who's being disciplined. This happens differently in different dynamics, where you can have, you know, two women, two men, a man and a woman, and it could be the man who is the submissive and the woman is the dominant. It happens all the time and it's totally fine. Everyone has their preferences. And with this different dynamics, you can't have a single set of rules. It's more of preferences. There's some people who like to be insulted. That all comes into masochism, which is the third group in BDSM. So back to first group, bondage and disciplining. So some dominants like certain things being followed, and that's where the negotiation happens, where we have certain rules being set, certain limits being set, being agreed on, and things like that. Some dominants intend on having the submissives dress a certain way when they're having a scene, or to behave a certain way when they're having a scene. And that's where the disciplining comes in, where if the submissive doesn't do it, they get punished. Okay? And I don't mean, oh, punish me, daddy, I've been a bad girl. No, that, well, somehow it, that is included, but that isn't all that there is to it. And now, back to the point of this podcast, I'm not just giving you sex education, I'm also telling you what it implies in your psyche. Now, in such situations, most of the people who end up being submissives are people who are powerful people at work, you know? The people who are constantly leading meetings and, or group leaders in school and top of the class students, and they're constantly taking on the leadership role, the top role, and for once they just want to be taken care of. They want to be the one being given instructions. It's not always that way, but quite often it is. And if that's not your reality, then that's totally fine, but this is the more common relation. And they want now this time, because, you know, constantly flooded with work, constantly working, constantly thinking about other people, you want now to be the center of attention. And more often than not, those people who are dominant are people who are kind of, you know, sat on or neglected or pushed aside at work or in their friend groups, and now they want to be in charge. Like, this is a place where I have been given authority as a dominant, and I will dominate, and I will use my role to get what I want done the way I want it done. Now, don't get me wrong, this is not an abusive kind of relationship. Like I said, it's consensual, and all terms have to be agreed on before any scene begins. So as a dominant, my submissive would agree to be doing certain things for me. Say, if I want to be pleased in a certain way, I will instruct them and they will do it immediately. Of course, in our we have something called a contract in BDSM where we have stated all our conditions, all our safe words for all occasions, all our hard limits, all our soft limits, all that is interest or topics of interest, activities of interest, and all that stuff. And I will say, I want you to get on your knees right now, and my submissive will. And if my submissive is not in the mood, there's a word or a thing they can do, if they're not comfortable saying I'm not in the mood, because that is disobedience and it is against the rules in the contract. Remember, again, all these things in the contract are consensually agreed upon. Both parties have to be 100% comfortable with them. Right, so the person can use there's a safe word for during when we're having a scene, like, you know, during intercourse or during the scene. And there's a safe word that they can use when they're not in the mood, when they're not feeling like they're able to tell me outrightly that, no, I'm not in the mood. Make sense? I hope that does. Right. So, that aside, no, that was an explanation for the dominant wanting to be in control, getting things done the way they want it. You know, where in a whim, you can say, man, I'm hungry. Say, I don't know what to call that, won't make this taken down or whatever for being rude, but say slut. Yeah, no, that's a bad, it's an insulting word and it's very dehumanizing and all that, but there are people who like being called that, and that's totally fine. So the dominant would be, slut, get me a glass of water or glass of this or a cup of coffee right now. And the submissive's rules are, when given an instruction, you respond with yes ma'am, yes sir, yes master, something like yes mistress, something like that. And they have to. And example of a dialogue, okay? Slut, get me a cup of coffee. And they say, okay. And I will say, okay, who? And they don't respond, like, take a knee right now. Bend over my knee. And they get punished. That's kind of how the BDSM dynamic works. But that's in extremes, you know, where you are constantly, not really constantly, but when the individual is in a dominant headspace, and such actions tend to get the submissive, who at that moment wasn't in a submissive headspace, into a submissive headspace. Now, there's something called subspace, where a submissive gets in completely into that headspace and they're completely engulfed by the whole idea of being a submissive. Now, this is a very, very sensitive headspace where a submissive, the individual, is basically behaving and feeling intoxicated. There's a complete rush of endorphins and the person is basically intoxicated, the same way someone would be drunk, and you can't say you can have consent from someone who's drunk or someone who's high or, you know, drugged. The same way when someone is in subspace, that they can't give you consent unless it's been previously agreed upon that when in subspace you have my consent. And this has to be agreed on all the time. It has to be agreed on. Right. So I think we spent so much time in the bondage and discipline. I think that's all we'll talk about today. The bondage and discipline, and then we can talk about dominant. We've brought in a bit of dominant and submissive into this one, so that's okay. Yeah, so the bondage is more of just like, you know, a hierarchy kind of thing. Like, I'm showing you that I'm on top. I'm showing you that I control you, kind of thing. And that's okay because, again, it has been agreed on. And so that's how the dominant and submissive things work. And remember, now, here's a tricky part, the part that most people don't know. BDSM is not always sexual. If anything, most of the people who engage in BDSM have some sort of some of the people who engage in BDSM have some sort of trauma or mental illness of some sort, and or are like, say, workaholics who struggle to take care of themselves, who work so much that they forget that they have a body that they need to take care of, or that they have a mental health that they need to take care of. So they end up neglecting it in the name of, oh my god, I was working, I totally forgot that I needed to sleep, you know, something like that. And in these cases, the contract brings in a specific set of rules where the dominant requires the submissive to take care of themselves in certain ways. Because of course, if you are, as a submissive, are not in your best headspace, or even the dominant, you can agree to have rules for the dominant. It's totally fine. And you have, for you to enjoy your scenes, the sexual scenes, you have to be in the right headspace. Your body has to be capable. If you haven't eaten for a few days or for a whole day, you won't be able to pull through an entire scene without feeling dizzy. And that's just going to cancel the whole scene and, you know, it can't continue. So we have things like, you know, make sure you get your hair done every month, make sure you take a shower every day, make sure you work out at least twice a week, make sure you eat at least 2 meals a day, make sure you drink a whole bottle of water, something like that. And despite, yes, BDSM being sexual, yes, but as a submissive and a dominant, you need to take care of each other, you know, and to make sure that your bodies are constantly always in the best possible state. And of course, we have so many functions that PHAC functions of, I think it's PHAC, I think, of BDSM. You know, there's so many little details, but as an overview, you just need to be taking care of each other, because your bodies need to be at their best to take care of each other. Your emotional states, your mental states, they have to be okay, they have to be good, they have to be thriving for you to have a functional relation, a functional scene. And that's basically the concrete, the backbone of being, having a dominant or having a submissive. There's a lot that goes into it. There are so many little nitty-gritties, you know, the people who are into fire play, the people who are into knife play, the people who are into non-consensual consent, which means that consent is given way beforehand, and in the moment of non-consensual consent, the dominant can have the submissive in any way they please, as long as consent has been given beforehand. Now, this one's a bit tricky, because it's best with long-term relationships where trust has been built over time, because before non-consensual consent is given, consensual non-consent, but that's a basic idea. Consent is given earlier, like you've talked about non-consensual consent and it's been discussed, it's been understood, it's been agreed on, and later on the submissive is doing the thing and the dominant comes in and wants to be pleased, and therefore the submissive must comply because they agreed. Not really must, but like I said, safe words. So if the submissive doesn't want to go into it, they can use a safe word. But otherwise, once non-consensual consent has been agreed upon, then the dominant has the go-ahead from the word go. This usually comes in with something called simnophilia, where the people who get sexual arousal from engaging in sexual activities with a person who's asleep or unconscious. Now, this is a whole different thing, and again, it is not something, it's not rape, because it has been agreed, it has been spoken about and agreed on before the situation, before that particular moment. There's a whole different topic. Like I said, there are very many little functions of within BDSM that cannot be discussed within one podcast episode. So today we've talked about bondage, we've talked about discipline, we've talked about the dominant and the submissive, and Right, there are also this group of people called switches who sometimes can be submissives and others sometimes can be dominant. And these people thrive in both relationships, though sometimes they feel suffocated in a relationship with an individual who's only one end of the spectrum. So a switch would struggle with a submissive because they'd also want to be submissive sometimes, but their partner can't, or vice versa with a dominant. They'd have to be submissive all the time, and but their dominant side will feel neglected. So my opinion, a switch should go with the switch, where they can both exchange more or less. No? Yeah. So I hope that information is good. Let me know what you guys think. Next week we'll talk about the sadism and masochism, explain a bit more alongside with dominant submissive and discipline. Bondage is just bondage. There's not really much to go on about in bondage. It's just bondage, and I hope you will like it as well. Let me know your comments about this episode. Let me know what you think, what I should discuss next. Though we're still not done with kinks and fetishes, there's so much to dive into. Like I said, there are over 230 to talk about. Some I won't discuss because they're really quite unsettling, even for myself. But I'm okay with people doing them. Just, you know, keep it to yourself, keep it consensual, keep it safe, and keep it private, you know, that kind of thing. If it's, you know, something that's not usually accepted by most people, like, you know, in society, don't make it people's problem. Don't put it out there when you know people, majority of society, won't accept it. Just enjoy it with yourself, with your partner, with your partners, if they're okay with it, you know, like throuples, sort of couples, and like three people, or like, you know, if you want to do foursomes and whatever's. Keep it consensual. That's basically it. And keep it safe. Don't go around spreading diseases, getting pregnant, getting other women pregnant, getting other people pregnant. Don't do that, because that's very bad manners. Okay. Yeah. So that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are awesome. Remember, rainbows are cool and so are you. Till next week.